This is Neil Whiteside. Cambridge 105 Radio.
And it's lovely to welcome back into the studio from CKLG Accountants, one of the partners, Lawrence Golding. Lawrence, good afternoon.
Hello, Neil.
So your side kicks off on Christmas holes then?
I think she's
a concert, isn't it?
Yeah, Children's Carol Service or something like that.
So that's Sarah Tucker. Sarah's not with us this month, but hello, Sarah, if you're listening in the car. Lawrence, welcome along. You decided to talk about artificial intelligence and in bookkeeping. And when you said about artificial intelligence, that instantly takes me away from just software. So we're not talking about a double-entry bookkeeping system that's been around for goodness knows how many hundreds of years now suddenly going into software. We're talking about beyond that, aren't we?
Yes, we are. It's... computers have been used in all sorts of situations, including accounting and bookkeeping for quite a lot of years now. But the point at the moment is that everything seems to be coming together in terms of computer power, the use of the cloud, and the extremely rapid improvement in the artificial intelligence of the software can now learn. It learns by its mistakes, and it can take the information and effectively make its own decisions. So the point with computers is they're very good at doing routine tasks very fast, handling data, big amounts of data, quickly, and doing everything very accurately. And the what is changing is how you get that data into the system.
Right, because in the past, it's always been a very manual system. You'd need a bookkeeper because everything comes in the post. You'd receive invoices, you'd type up invoices and send them. It was always a very, very paper-based system, wasn't it? And then they promised us the paperless office.
That's right.
And is it finally turning up then?
Well, we've got a paperless office in theory, but paper has its place. But we certainly don't keep paper anymore.
Right.
We don't store stuff on paper. But yes, the traditional bookkeeping accounting function was actually reasonably labour-intensive. Somebody had to sort of code all the invoices and post them into the system. And then the system would take that and generate reports, which were hopefully useful for the businessman. Mm. What's happening now is it's now pretty routine to have your account software, your business account software, linked, for example, to your bank account. So every day, the information that's in your bank account, the transactions, the money in and the money out that's gone through the bank account, and now automatically appear in your accounting software. There are now systems out there which can go further than that and take, for example, either emailed invoices, bills, expenses, or scans of stuff that arrives in the post, and will basically, using the sort of optical character recognition, will read those invoices and actually effectively make a decision and post them into the account. So, for example, if you have a routine bill from your electricity company or from British Telecom, for instance, it would actually be able to read the bill, take out the VAT element, and post the cost either to telephone expense or light, heat and power, for example. And it can do that much quicker and much more accurately than a person can.
That's amazing. I mean, presumably it does need some sort of intervention at times, someone keeping their eye on it, because there's always the anomalous invoice, the extra services or something.
Absolutely. But the point of that is that it frees up everybody's time to what the computers can do is process the information quickly and accurately. What they don't have is the emotional intelligence to actually use the data and the reports that are generated from it to make decisions that affect the business. And these systems, which perhaps in the past have been pushed along for very large businesses, are now available to the very, very small business, the startups, at a really... for really very, very good value. It's no longer the domain of large international businesses.
Really?
The small little startup running from home can make use of all this technology.
I guess if, you know, if you're a company who writes this software and has it sitting in the cloud, you know, you can afford to do it for 20 quid a month to individual users, because it all adds up in the end. And you
absolutely. If you've got 250,000 users all paying you £20 a month, that's a nice business.
So should people be seriously considering this? I mean, small businesses, I'm guessing, as you say, are going to dismissed it in the past. But you're saying, no, hang on a minute. Now, this is perhaps the time to look at it. Because there were some big software packages around for many years. Sage, I'm not singling them out, but I know that, you know, Sage is heavily used as a traditional bookkeeping system. But you're saying that, I mean, there are, I believe, cloud variants of that, and there's other systems, you know, Young Pretenders coming alongside, and more to do besides, I guess.
There are. There are a number out there now. I think it's probably fair to say that in our experience, certainly new start-up, young businesses, I suppose, perhaps because they're in the Cambridge area and some of them are technology-based anyway, but nevertheless, younger people nowadays are so used to monthly subscription services without any real commitment, that's all just hosted, whether it's Spotify, or why not extend that to your accounting system? So you subscribe, you pay your 20-odd pounds a month, and I think that's becoming pretty much the no-brainer for the new startup businesses. Obviously, there's the legacy with the more traditional businesses that have perhaps already got existing systems in place, but it's the point why it's worth talking about this now, I think, is that we're really coming together at this cusp where things are changing at an extraordinarily fast rate.
Right.
And I think the reason partly is driven by the fact that the benefits and that are coming through are going to be really significant.
In terms of time saved, lack of errors,
I think
accuracy?
It's the time saved, but it's what you do with the time. And it's the time... So in our line of business, for instance, you know, we, in times gone past, the accountant has had to help businesses comply with rules and regulations. Mm. Every company has to have an annual set of accounts that are filed. It has to do a tax return that is filed. And that in the past has been a significant amount of the work that the accountants have done for that company during the course of the year. Increasingly, with these modern intelligent systems, the amount of time required on that aspect of the work is reducing significantly. But what that enables people to do is to use that free time to actually give advice and talk to the business owner about what he wants for the business, what its strategy is, and help give advice to, and looking forward-looking rather than backward-looking, help give advice to make that work, whether it's growing the business, making it more profitable, employing more people.
Well, it is this whole thing about timely information. I mean, you think back a few years, and I can think of one or two businesses that I came across in my days of IT support, where basically the chap would sit with a big box, which he'd just throw all his receipts into for an entire year, and then come near the time that he needed to produce some accounts, some poor bookkeeper somewhere would be presented with just this pile of papers because, well, bookkeeping and accountancy, that costs money, and they only want to spend it once a year, and then there'll be a rush on because, well, it's a deadline. But now you're saying, you know, if you do this, if the system is automated, if stuff like this is going on, you can have management figures at the end of the week, at the end of the month, at the end of the quarter. You've got far more. If you're doing it the old-fashioned way, once a year you get to find out whether you did all right or not.
Exactly. You get to find out whether you did all right or not, or what should you have done had you known, and it's all too late. And that whole process was driven by the compliance, the rules that said you had to do this and file your tax returns and so on. But the whole emphasis now should be changing into actually the seeing the information for what it is, which is valuable to help steer the business and guide it and looking to the future. And furthermore, you're talking about the information being available in a very timely on a very timely basis, but especially with the advent of sort of cloud technology and the information being on in the cloud, is it then becomes mobile. So it doesn't matter where you are. If you're a businessman out travelling, seeing a customer, and you've got your mobile phone with the suitable apps on, you can send him an invoice there and then.
Yeah.
You can see if he owes you money. If you're out travelling and you incur expenses, you can just take a snapshot of your expense receipt rather than putting it somewhere and losing it. And it just makes that whole process so much slicker. And you can see wherever you are in the world, at whatever time you are, how your business is doing.
Are there any risks to going on the cloud with this software? What happens if the software provider decides, yeah, well, we're not doing it, or instead of charging £20 a month, let's call it £200 because we've kind of got the information now? Or is that, has that era passed? Are the players in the market the steady ones now?
There are always risks with everything. And what one has to do is to mitigate those. I mean, security is a risk, but most of the reputable software suppliers are using the same industry standards that the banks use, and often you can use the two-factor sort of authentication. So they're pretty much as secure can be. If they're taking it seriously, they have mirrored servers in a different part of the world, so there's always backups going on. The commercial risks of one of them getting greedy, well, the point is with most of these subscription-based packages, you're not committed to them, you're not signed in. All right, there would be some hassle, but if somebody really decided to bump their prices up to an unacceptable level, there'd be somebody else out there who would be queuing up to say, we'll help convert you to our
system. Yes, they'd have to give you notice anyway, and during that time you can be arranging to switch.
And the point is with these systems, they're already, I mean, a lot of the suppliers, as part of an inducement for existing businesses to switch, will, for example, if you're using an office-based Sage system, to take an example, they will help you, free of charge, convert your data into their system.
Right. Again, I was going to say, and if you've got a paper-based system, really, you need to be... That is, if you have a fire, unless everything's in a fireproof cabinet and things like that, you need to be getting rid of this now.
You do. And for certainly to start off with, for VAT-registered businesses, come the 1st of April
things are changing,
year,
aren't they?
You're going to be forced to do it.
Right. So you've got no real choice.
Not really.
OK, so AI's made a change so far. What can you see on the horizon, though? Where does the future look as you see it?
Well, I suppose the systems will be set up and you will give access. So if you've got, let's say, for example, you're a business and you've got various supplier accounts, you will grant access to your system to those supplier accounts, and your system will go and retrieve the information it needs from your suppliers' systems. So it'll go and retrieve your utility bills, your telephone bills from your suppliers without you having to be sent anything. So the systems will all talk to each other.
It's going to make life so much easier, because so much in business is down to people going, oh, yeah, I need a copy of an invoice. Yeah, we didn't get that copy. Well, yeah, no, if you could send us that, then we need a statement before we pay. And all this, it's all all these excuses and all this admin nonsense that goes on, which is often
that's right. And
just
the supplier
ways of stalling,
says,
isn't
our
it?
Our sales ledger say you owe us this. Mm. And the other company says, well, our purchase ledger says we only owe you this.
Mm.
They shouldn't be different. What one person says, you owe me, the other person said, yes, I do owe you that. And once the systems are really integrated and can talk to each other, that should be a thing of the past.
And just coming back on what you're saying about the things for VAT registered companies changing it, that pretty much, apart from the very small businesses, that does mean it affects pretty much everybody, doesn't it? So
it affects the vast majority. And, you know, this is part of the government's initiative for making tax digital. We've had it already in the past with payrolls, where real-time information means that every time a payroll is run, that information gets into the government system rather than waiting till the end of the tax year. Part of the reason for that means that they can assess people's status for tax credits and so on, so rather than finding they've overpaid people and then have to go and make corrections and try and get money back from people who are not earning a lot anyway. It's all very difficult. So they've had it with payroll. They're now bringing it in with VAT in the next few months. And one can see the writing's on the wall that eventually they'll encourage all businesses to make their tax returns digital. They're talking about making personal tax returns truly digital, where you'll have a taxpayer account. It's just progress.
Well, and I suppose the days of the traditional bookkeeper then, in a large extent, is numbered.
I think doing what they do is to some extent numbered. That doesn't mean to say that some bookkeepers who build up quite a lot of experience might actually be quite well placed for helping small businesses and business owners to, again, interpret some of that data and tell them what it means. Because a lot of small businesses, the guy who runs it or the woman who runs it, they're doing everything. They're the sales director, the managing director, the commercial director, the production director.
And it's an eight-hour day for each of those jobs.
And they're the finance director, yes. And they can't be specialists at all of that.
No.
So there is always a role for people who have the experience and can offer the advice.
Especially if you've got software doing it off to one side, you're trusting it, and it's perhaps good that someone's casting an eye over it occasionally, yes, just to make sure things are right. Well, it's interesting, because I actually, you'll be proud of me, I did my self-assessment return this week.
I haven't done mine yet.
I'm way ahead. Me, I thought, I can't face Christmas and knowing this is all coming in January. I'm doing it now. And I don't know about you, but I'm just your average Joe. I had a folder, and in that folder is anything I thought I needed. What I found was really interested. I didn't go near it, because everything I've got, or my bank and everything else, you're just looking at, because you sat in front of a computer doing this thing. Everything's in your emails or online. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the end and thought, I haven't opened that folder. So it's a kind of a local level version of what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Everything is there now. And it actually only took half an hour to do. And I thought, well, that really was quite straightforward. And I never opened that folder that I have methodically kept updated throughout the year. I've got all the papers. Anyone wants to ask, it's all there. But you think, they're not even going to want to look at that, because you've filled all the numbers in online. And
absolutely.
You've got...
And imagine that one stage further, where you find that you're an employee, for instance, that your end of year payroll information, what you've earned and what tax you've paid, is, all right, available online, but what about if that's actually already appears on your individual tax account at HMRC and the numbers are already there?
Which it did for mine.
And, exactly, and you earn bank interest or investment income, which appears in your tax return. So really all you might be doing is checking it and adding a few other bits.
It makes life easier. Hopefully, I mean, well, artificial intelligence is already trying to take over radio stations. In some cases, I think it's failing miserably. But Lawrence, it's been lovely to see you this afternoon. Very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all of you and all the staff at CKLG.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for all your financial advice this year. We'll see you in 2019 if we haven't all been replaced by robots.
Okay.
That's Lawrence Golding. He's one of the partners of CKLG Accountants. If you want more details, you can find it on their website. Just talk to your accountant if you've already got one.